ear to the word of the Lord, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, and we're going to start reading at verse number 69, and then we're going to read here down to verse 75. A very familiar place of Scripture, and then we're going to be looking here a couple other places, and see what the Lord would say to us tonight. Amen. If you will stand with us for the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to do so, out of respect of God's Word, and honoring His Word as we stand, as we believe this is, does anybody still believe the Bible is the most important thing that we have in our possession, the Word of God? Thankful for it. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, and starting in verse number 69, if you're there with me, won't you say amen? Amen. And the Bible here conveys to us here this happening in the life of Peter. It says, now Peter, once you understand just the backstory here, you'll catch it as we read. Christ has been apprehended. He is been apprehended out of the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples have now scattered. And the prophecy of Christ right now, as we're reading this, what's happening is in real time, what Christ had declared and prophesied in regards to Peter is unfolding. In this very moment, it says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came and came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee, or it gives it away. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. Tonight, if I can, for just a few moments, I'm just going to preach. The Lord has had this very simple thought, but has had me reminded here of Peter's failure, this denial, and these things that were come tonight. I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to preach to you or offer to you a brand new revelation, but nonetheless, I believe something that would help all of us. I don't necessarily know why. I did not put this together with any persons in mind or a situation in mind. But here's what I do know and trust is that the Lord knows. What I do know and trust is that God knows, sees our hearts, He understands our circumstances, He knows what's going on. And so we're just going to trust that His word will accomplish what it's sent to do. Is that okay? Amen. It will accomplish what it's sent to do. And I just want to preach tonight on this thought, very simple but powerful, and that is, move on. Amen. Move on. Look at somebody next to you and say, it's probably time you just move on. Amen. Probably time you just move on. Can we pray together? Ask the Lord to help us. Father, once again, we thank you tonight for your faithfulness. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I believe your word. And it is all that we have tonight. As we trust and rest in your anointing, pray that you would touch and anoint the hearts and ears of your people. Help us tonight that we would apply your word. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would have to say to the church. Let Jacob Smith be out of the way. Lord, we want to hear you. We want to see you. And Lord, tonight I pray, I know your word is enough, and I pray you do the work you desire to do, and we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this evening. Praise the Lord. Somebody had said some years ago, and I know it's one of those things that probably many of us have heard, and some would say it sounds very cliche, and when we say that term, and Brother Chris, you being a wordsmith, you understand and know what this means, but when we say that something is cliche, it's, in other words, it's saying it's the thing that's supposed to be said. It's something we've heard often. It's supposed to be said, or in this moment, or in this time, this is what you say. And sometimes we use such a term in order, I think, it becomes dismissive. We don't always hold on to the power or the potency of the particular word that's being said. I've learned along the way that certain phrases and certain things that were said, some things by my grandparents and elders in my life, or things I heard coming up. Have you ever heard a phrase or something and you would say, I wonder where that came from. I wonder why they said that. Not only did they say it, but oftentimes they very much practiced it, or they lived by it. But that which I'm saying tonight is this, is that the statement is that failure only comes when you stay down in a place. You do not get back up. But falling is not failure, but the failure comes is when you have stayed there. The Word of God tells us of this fact, as it declared in the Word of God, the book of Proverbs said that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. And we have heard things said in regards to this. I'll remember a time at Truth Camp. We used to have before the evening service, they had what was called a Vesper service. And Brother Drew, in that Vesper service, young preachers, youth pastors, just different young men had the call to preach on their lives. There would be some who would be selected to share roughly 20, 25 minutes or so before we got to the evening service. And I still remember a young man got up there and he preached a message for about 10, 15 minutes. But I thoroughly enjoy every word of it. But he preached, Brother Marvin, on your failure is not final. And he preached on that, and boy, did he preach his heart out, and he preached under the anointing, and it helped some folks. I know it helped me that night, listening to that young man preach that, as not only was it something, it wasn't something clever that he came up with to preach, but you could tell that he was preaching from a place of experience to say that those failures in our lives, they do not have to be final. It does not have to be the ending point. It does not have to be the place where everything comes to a stop. But rather, by God's grace, by His mercy, and with His help, to be able to get up again and to go on again. And if you will indulge me with the fact tonight, to move on from where we are, to move on in various capacities. I don't know, the Bible is chock full of men and women of God who have had epic failures. Epic failures. We can go and we can look at different ones in the situation, in different situations. Anybody from Moses to David, we can take a look here as we're reading about Peter's denial. We can see and read in the course of Scripture of different ones who had done various things where by our standards, by what we would think or in our humanity, that there is no recovery from such a place. Not only is there not any recovery, but can they continue to be used by God? And yet, God proved by His word and by mercy and by grace those things enabled these folks to get up from where they were and begin, Brother Jimmy, to move on from where they were into the places that God would have them to be. Now, there were things that there was going to be consequence. There were some scars that were lived with. There were some things that were there. But there come a point, yes, we talk of God's grace and mercy, but coupled with that, there has to be something that resides inside of the heart of a believer that would say, Lord, I'm leaning on your grace, where there's been genuine repentance of what has happened. What does that mean? I've often said, and we've often in our home, and from the time Ashlyn was little and learning about what it was to apologize, we have often said around our house, Brother Gary, that apology or I'm sorry is more than words, but it is shown in action as well. When we talk about repenting from a place of failure, repenting from a wrong, yes, we tell God we're sorry. Yes, there's times if it involves someone else, then you apologize and tell them that you're sorry and mean it. Amen. Mean it when you say that you're sorry. And then from that point, a real decision to say, I'm moving on from this place, and it is my purpose, it's my desire that I do not turn back around and repeat this over again. Can somebody shout amen? To move on. Epic failures, situations that seem insurmountable. How will they recover from this? And yet we see that God, time and time again, reaching out, dealing, drawing, giving the strength in order to move on. We find in this Peter, I mean, here he is. We know the story. We don't have to go and dissect this. I don't have to give you some spiritual analysis. You see what it is. He denied Christ. He was under the gun. He did not want to wind up like Jesus did that night, apprehended and his life taken from him. All of the big talk, all of the spiritual rigmarole, all of the things that he said he would do, all the things he declared to Christ, oh, said in other words, they'd have to kill me first. They'd have to crucify me first. In so much that Jesus, in his rebuke of Peter, called him Satan and said, get behind me. Come on here. Some very serious things that were going on. Said, Peter, these are things that are happening. These are things that are transpiring. This is what you are going to do. The Word of God reminds us of the fact. Amen. He said, Peter, listen, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. But I love one of my favorite passages in Scripture is when Jesus tells Peter, he said, but I have prayed for you. He said that your faith would fail not. He didn't say that your flesh wouldn't fail. He knew his flesh would fail. He knew there would be multiple times. But Peter, you're going to have to tap into something, because when faith doesn't fail, faith helps you to move on past some of the places of regret, past some of the places of remorse, past the places of wondering if God can ever again. I want somebody in this house to know that we serve a God full of compassion, who is like unto him who is rich in mercy, who takes our sins and casts them as far as the east is to the west. Oh, who would put them in the sea to be remembered no more. That's the God that we serve. I'm glad tonight God's not digging up bones and resurrecting the old sinful resume, but there's a clarion call from heaven, and I pray somebody would hear it tonight. It's time for someone to move on from where you might be, from where you are stuck. I'm going to give you something very simple tonight that I believe is one of the keys. It's the premise. It's probably the most important thing in order to move on. Are you ready to hear that? You ready to hear what that is? This is a big word. It's hard to get past your lips and your teeth. It's hard to think about it sometimes. It's hard to do it, but here it is. This is the key to moving on. This is the oil for the engine. This is the gas in the tank that'll help you get where you need to go. And that is forgive. 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 You say it, marinate on it, think about it, sleep on it. Just let it set and settle into the crooks and crevices of your soul and your mind. Forgive. It is that which we know that we must do, and yet we don't often. It is that thing that is so essential in the life of the believer, but oftentimes it is the thing that we will justify not doing. We will live in areas of less than if we don't forgive. We will be stuck, stumped. We will find ourselves stagnant. You'll never be able to grow. You'll never be able to serve. You'll never be able to love completely. You will never be able, listen to me, I'm telling you things that are true and right and real. Your prayers will be hindered. Your call will be suffocated if you do not know what it is to move on. And we must move on in the realm, the spirit of forgiveness. Forgiveness. You've got to forgive. I want to first tell you this, is that this is obvious. I want you to understand that you have to forgive others. You have to forgive others. It's often been said that we want to hold people accountable to their actions, what they've said and what they've done, but we want to be forgiven based off of our intentions. Have you ever began an apology with something that sounds like this? I did not intend to say this. This was not what I intended. That is not what I meant. That is not what it is. We want others to forgive us on intentions, but we often are the masters. We want to hold the feet to the fire. I don't want to hear about your intentions. You did this. You said this. Whatever the case might be. Can I tell somebody tonight? I believe God put this on my heart because there's somebody who is stuck in a place and you can't get out of it, and you won't be able to move on from it until you practice forgiveness, until you begin to look at the other in the situation and realize that you cannot be there, you cannot stay there. Lord knows we cannot die there. The Word of God is very clear. As we have been forgiven, we must be able, we must forgive. It is a practice of the believer. It is a part of us. This is not optional. This is not a recommendation. This is not something that Jesus said superfluously, just to sound fancy and neat, whatever the case might be. I want you to understand the world's going to hate you. I want you to understand people are going to disappoint you. I want you to understand the religious will let you down. Denominations will disappoint. Preachers will not always get it right. Your spouse, your children, your church family, the list goes on and on and on. Oh, can I tell you, don't be stuck living years in the past when God says, I've got things ahead of you. I've got places I want you to step into. I've got areas I want you to grow. I've got some things I want to do in you. But you've got to move on. And the way to move on is to forgive. But Brother Jake, if I forgive them, then I am excusing them. Are you really? Are you really? I really don't find where forgiveness means that you've made an excuse for. Right? Because there are things that when we forgive, a wrong has been done. And sometimes there is not an excuse for it. It was done. It was done maliciously. It was done with no thought, care, or concern. It was done on purpose sometimes in order to, yes, intentionally hurt you. These are the truths of it. This is what's going on. We look at these things, and I want you to understand tonight, in this place we find where Peter is guilty. Peter has denied. Peter did exactly what Jesus said. Peter is here. His actions, very substantial. His actions, so disappointing. When we read it for ourselves, we shake our heads and say, how in the world could he do that? Oh, but be careful, sir. Be careful, ma'am, because truth of the matter is, if it were you and I there that night, it very well would have been us. It very well would have been us. The disciples are scattered, each of them in different places. We rank and we rate different things of what different ones have done. Judas betrayed, took payment, threw the payment back. But out of his despair, because he could not move on, because there was a place as to where he could not even forgive himself, we come to find he takes his own life. The Bible says Peter goes after three times of denial. He had said so clearly, so bluntly, so blatantly, I know not the man. In one of the Gospels, the Bible says that when he had done so, he looked across the courtyard and Jesus and Peter's eyes fastened on each other. It's one thing if you can't look in the mirror at yourself. It's another thing when you have to stare at the one that you have betrayed. Hear me. All of this goes on. But I want you to understand that in all of this, Christ in his sovereignty had already made way. He already had his mind made up. Thank God. He was going to forgive Peter. He was going to bestow mercy. He was going to show compassion. That's what Jesus did. He would take it to the cross. He would have mercy. Christ had already told him, he said, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking of you, Peter. This is going to be a trial. This is going to be difficult. Oh, he said, but I'm going to love you through it. I'm going to pray for you. Aren't you glad tonight? Amen. For forgiveness that has been given. Aren't you thankful tonight that at a point in your life, God said, all right, it's under the blood. The old account is settled, and I need you to move on. That's the old, and I want you to walk in the new. That was in the dark, but now you're in the light. Oh, I want you to know that's been buried, and now you're resurrected into new life. Thanks be to God for forgiveness that has been shown unto us. I want to remind you tonight that forgiveness does not mean that you are saying that the other person is right, but forgiveness does mean that you are free. You are free. Free to move on. Free to go. I want to say this. You've heard me say it in preaching before, but let me say this again. There is the act of forgiveness is not, hear me, it is not for us and our humanity. It is not a one and done situation. There is not, listen, I thank God for powerful times around the altar when I have left and I knew, Brother Jimmy, I gave it over to God and I felt light and I felt free and I knew that that work had been done in my heart that night. But can I tell you, is that oftentimes, more times than not, it is not just one moment, one prayer, one altar call, one service, one preacher's message, not one instance. But can I tell you, is that forgiveness for many, it is a daily decision to where you say, I know I was wronged, I know I was hurt, but today I'm taking it again into the throne. I'm giving it to God. I'm moving on. And if I'm going to move on, I've got to leave the baggage with him. I've got to trust him with it. And I've got to know that he'll heal my heart along the way. Sometimes in order to move on with forgiveness, it has to be done daily. You have to do it. Can I say this? Is that there's also a time in a day that as you practice forgiveness, you will get up one day and it won't be on your mind anymore. You will get up one day and you will look at that person. You'll hear their voice. You'll see them in the church. You'll see them at some place. And all of a sudden, your first thought is not what they did to you. You know why? Because it's the sign you're moving on. You're moving on. And you've been taking it to the Lord. Can you understand? I want to read to you Acts chapter 2, verse number 14. Listen to this. Peter, of course, in Matthew 26, 69 through 75, we've read this epic failure. He's denied Christ. Is there any hope? Is there anything that can be done? Is there anything that can be accomplished? I want you to look at this here in Acts chapter 2 and 14. But Peter, listen to this, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. I'm going to stop right there, but here on the day of Pentecost, Peter is famously going to preach Christ and him crucified and risen again, and that the prophecy of Joel was taking place that day when the Holy Ghost was being poured out. But before we amen his message, and before we get excited over those things, I want you to understand, it's somewhere, Sister Dina, because of the power of forgiveness, Peter could move on and he could stand with the other 11. And I want to say this, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls that came into the kingdom that day would have never happened if the other 11 would have never stood with him. And if they looked at him and said, you're a no good dirty dog, you denied him, you denied you even knew him, you cussed around the campfire, you was doing all this, but all 12 of those men knew they stood that day by the reason and the power of forgiveness. And can I say, thanks be to God, there was men around Peter who forgave him as well. Forgave him as well. The call of God would have been stopped, would have been squelched, would have been hindered if there were others who were not willing to forgive. You see, as their decision to forgive Peter as well. And Peter had to forgive that one, and that one had to forgive this one, and the story goes on and on. All stood guilty. And I think sometimes that's what we forget. We've all stood guilty. We've all stood in a place where we weren't right, where it wasn't good, where we weren't at the top of the mountain spiritually. When we forget that, we lose patience with other people. When we forget that, we hold people hostage. We want ourselves and our sins forgiven, our problems forgotten about, but we want to hold others in a place where it's a constant reminder. That's just not how God operates. You see, forgiveness. There must be forgiveness of others. And can I just tell you this, is that in the act of forgiveness of others, you also help somebody else to move on. You do. You know what it is. I know what it is to stand in a place and you try to worship, you try to preach, you try to do various things, you try to do whatever it is that you're doing or called to do, or your role as husband, wife, whatever the case might be. And it is a terrible, heavy weight when that thing is hanging around your neck. And you know that you have not been forgiven. It stops the process. It's hard to move on from it. We must be willing to forgive others. We must be willing to look beyond. Not only is forgiveness more so for you, but it also sets that person free to be able to go on. Well, Brother Jake, you don't understand. The person I'm supposed to be forgiven, they could care less. They're living on their way. They're doing their thing. Listen, that might be the case in some instances, and they've got to get that right with God, because they will be hindered if that is how they are living. But I will say this, is that as you forgive others, it's freedom for yourself, but also you have relinquished that weight, you have relinquished that grudge, you have relinquished that thing, so that person can go by that power of forgiveness and go in the liberty that brings, so that they can as well fulfill what needed to be done. If Peter had sat and always wondering and always thinking, what are these other men thinking of me? What is it? What do I have to do? Whatever the case might be. But it's apparent that forgiveness was given to Peter. Want you to understand that we must move on. People change. here on the day of Pentecost that Peter had the courage to preach to his peer, to these that were in attendance, because his peers did not bring up his denial. Don't forget tonight that Jesus, he still gives faith after failure, miracles after mistakes, hope after hurt, and love after loss. That's the God that we serve. Here's the next part. Not only do you got to forgive others, but sometimes this is harder than others, as you've got to forgive yourself. You've got to forgive yourself. Someone can have forgiven you, apologies made, you have repented, you have went on your way, but you still stumble, you stutter, you stop, you worry, you contemplate, can I, can't I? You live under condemnation because you cannot, or in some cases, you will not forgive yourself. Well, Brother Jake, I don't deserve it. Brother Jake, it's not fair. What I did really hurt some people. Brother Jake, you don't understand what I did. It was, we've used the term tonight already, it was epic. It was terrible. It was grievous. It was, I just don't know. I think everybody in this building understands what it is to be in such a shameful place. And sometimes you wonder within yourself, how do I move on from here? How do I do this? How do I get past myself? How do I get past these thoughts? The Word of God reminds us that to the believer that is walking with Christ, that there is now no more any condemnation. We come to find that as Christ liberates and as Christ works, and can I say this, is just as you might have to practice forgiveness for somebody else and put it under the blood every day for yourself as well, might have to be the case to say, Lord, I know I've asked forgiveness. And I've heard some preachers, Brother Marvin, who would say things like, well, when you've asked God for forgiveness, don't ask him ever again. Well, I'm sorry, I don't fit in that category. There's some things, Brother Drew, I've asked the Lord over and over again. That does not mean that I don't think that God has the power, that does not have the power to forgive me. But it is a place of my heart. It is a place of sincerity. It is a place that for nothing else, that Brother Marvin, it is that practice of I'm taking it, I'm placing it under the blood. There are some times that you've just got to put it there and say, God, you've got to do with this what you will. I need your help for me to move on for myself. For myself. Do you know the tragic truth is that sitting in our church pews, there are folks who will not serve. They will not do the things that God's called them to do. They will sit and they feel an utter thought and feeling of being disqualified, unusable. Not that God surely don't have anything good to do with them. I have pastored and talked with folks. I talked with a young man a handful of years back. And just about every other day, I'd get a phone call from him. And he would say, Brother Jake, he said, would you pray with me? Would you pray that God would forgive me? I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if he can forgive me for who I am or for what I've done in my past. And I mean, the enemy just berating him. And just, I mean, he was living under condemnation. And you'd think sometimes, Brother Tobin, and when I say that there were several phone calls, I can tell you this was more than two. We're talking about 20, 30 phone calls that centered around the same premise, around the same thing, around the same issue. Can God forgive me? Will he forgive me? After that long, Sister Anna, I felt like I ran out of things to say. I quoted the same scriptures. I said the same things. I felt like sometimes a broken record. I'd try to repackage it. I would try to say it a different way, thinking this time it might settle. This time it might sink in. But I'll tell you one thing that I didn't do. I did not avoid the phone call, and I did not roll my eyes, and I did not say to myself, this is a waste of time. You know why? That young man needed to be able to continue to take it and put it under the blood. And I'm glad to tell you, there came a point, Brother Gary, the phone call stopped, not because he was tired of talking, but because it had been working. God had been speaking to him. and God been dealing with him, and he realized, I could move on. I ain't got to stay here any longer. I ain't got to stay in this place anymore. Somebody tonight, Sister Carolyn, if you'll come, somebody tonight, you need to realize you need to quit believing the lie that God can't do it for you. You also need to quit believing the lie that God can't do it for somebody else. You're praying for a lost loved one. You're praying for somebody in your family. You're praying for somebody. Had a fellow reach out to me just last week, talking to me about the church. Told him, I said, I miss you. He said, I miss being there. I said, won't you come on back home? Won't you come on back home? He said, I will one day. I don't want his one day to be one day too late. But you know why it had to be, the answer had to be one day? It's because he's in a place, in a position. He's not going to play around with God. But he's also not realizing that God can forgive him, and that he can forgive himself, and he can move on from what's going on. You know what I'm convinced of tonight? There ain't nothing too big that God can't take care of. There ain't nothing too big. We get prickly when we hear that because we say things in our minds, or our body language tells the story, or our look tells the story of, you just don't understand what happened to me. And you know what? You're exactly right. I don't know. For many of you, I'm not in your shoes. I've not had some of the things happen, or and vice versa. There's things you wouldn't understand with me. But I can tell you this, is the common denominator in it all, is that Christ can take care of it. You can move on from where you are. Mighty men and women of God that have been used. They were not used because they were the pinnacle of perfection. They were used because they knew what it was to say, I'm sorry. They knew what it was to repent. They knew what it was to accept God's forgiveness. They knew what it was to forgive others and to move on. Moving on is a gift. You got to understand what I'm saying when I say this. It is a gift in the fact that if it was easy, everybody would do it. But also, it doesn't require a college degree. It doesn't require a title in the church. It doesn't require a certain amount of money. It doesn't require that you're a certain race, that you're just a man or just a woman. It doesn't require those things. But there just has to be a willingness to say, what do I need to do to move on? What do I need to do? Tonight, can I ask you this question? Are you hindered? Are you slowing down? The Apostle Paul, the believed writer of the book of Hebrews, said it like this: let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin. There are things that, yes, are sins, but there's a lot of things that are weights. Slowing you down. You ain't got to carry it. Ain't got to do it. Move on. Move on. Well, Brother Jake, I wish it was as easy as you're saying it is. I, first of all, I didn't say it was easy, but it is necessary. It's necessary. Move on. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Make a daily choice. Hold on to what God said. Hold on to his promise. Embrace his mercy and his goodness. Exercise his mercy. Goodness. Heads bowed all over this place tonight, Lord. This may not be for everybody, but I do believe for somebody. Somebody who's silently suffering, somebody who's hurting, Somebody whose thoughts tonight are preoccupied with the wrong that's been done to them, or preoccupied with the thoughts of what they have done to others. Maybe not to someone else, but maybe tonight it is a sin, an infraction against you. Tonight, Lord, there are some that are grappling, wonder if they can be forgiven because they feel like they've let you down in such a way that there's just no recovery. But that's not the case. You're full of compassion and full of mercy. And Lord, tonight, as difficult as forgiveness can be, as difficult as moving on can be, it is necessary, needed, it's mandated. And I pray you'd help us tonight. I pray that tonight there's movement in the right direction for somebody. I pray tonight, Lord, you can do something with this shell of a message. And Lord, do something that's deep and powerful, that you would deal with the heart of one that is here tonight that's struggling. This is the altar call tonight. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. You can get past your past. You don't have to live in a state of holding the grudge. You don't have to live in the place of condemnation where you can't seem to forgive yourself. But you can be free. God can set you free. God can help you. He's here tonight to help you. And I'm just going to ask this, because truth of the matter is, everybody in this house can identify. You've been hurt, or if you've hurt somebody and you need forgiveness for yourself or for somebody else. But if you'd say, I want to move on, I need the Lord to help me to move on, why don't you come? Can we come tonight and find ourselves a place in these altars? Can we step out from where we are tonight and say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm depending upon you tonight. Jesus, I need you. I need your grace. I need your strength in order to do it. Lord, I need your help in order to make it through. Maybe tonight it could be so real as the situation of hurt is right here in this very house. The situation of pain is right here in the presence of somebody else. Oh, tonight maybe it's extended. Maybe it's gone on. Maybe tonight somebody make up their mind and say, it's gone on long enough, but oh, I'm moving on. Lord, help me to take the steps to say I'm moving on. Help me, Lord, to do what is necessary. I'll forgive others. Lord, I'll forgive myself. Lord, by way of your strength, by way of your grace, your power. Oh, Jesus, tonight we're asking.